This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
We're here at Edgar's Cantina, T-Mobile Park. Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710. People lining up outside, Dave, getting ready to open the gates and let everybody flood in here and hopefully watch the Mariners beat the Cleveland Guardians once again. Still not on that name yet. Keep almost
Guardians.
It's sort of like Los Angeles Chargers. You just have to say it a million times before it becomes natural and you don't think about it.
Yeah, I just call them the Chargers, and with Cleveland, I just call them Cleveland.
Yeah. Well, you say Chargers because you're afraid of the owner who got mad at you.
Yeah, he did get mad at me. I was making a joke about it on the TV broadcast.
How dare you?
Season. Yeah, but you know, look, I was born in San Diego. Chargers. I mean, they're the San Diego Chargers. I don't care what anybody says.
Some people don't handle jokes well, Dave.
Yeah, well, maybe the owner is mad because he doesn't even own any part of SoFi Stadium.
Yeah.
They're just paying rent there.
They're tenants.
Yes,
they're tenants.
Exactly.
So yeah, Stan Kroenke's doing well with that building.
Yes, he is.
Meanwhile, so yeah, everybody getting ready to come in here, and Logan Gilbert will be joining us at some point in this hour at the. Here at the cantina, so hopefully everybody gets a chance to see him when he shows up out here. We'll do Mean Text coming up at 5:45, so you still have some time to get creative. 866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company, so do your best with those. Meanwhile, last night we touched on this to open the show. Obviously, it's great to see the Mariners win the opener. It's great to see your starting pitcher do what Luis Castillo did, but what stood out to me is I was just so prepared for, all right, maybe he doesn't look great. Because he didn't look dominant in spring. His velocity was down a bit. He was giving up some runs here and there. It didn't look sharp, but it's spring. We always qualify it.
Yeah.
But he's that guy that, you know, when people talk about him, oh, yeah, Luis, he's a guy who's a slow starter. It was just sort of a matter of fact that so you're kind of conditioned to expect, all right, maybe he's not going to be great the first couple of starts, and then he's going to find it. That's kind of, I think I just had that in my mind for last night. Like, okay, that, you know, maybe we're going to hit the bullpen early. You know, we'll see. Hopefully he can, you know, keep him in the game. He was outstanding. I mean, six innings. They didn't press it with the pitch count, just 76 pitches. But six innings, one hit off the hair, zero walks, zero runs, and six strikeouts. And then you throw in the performance of the bullpen. They come in, Luis Castillo and the bullpen combined for nine innings. Just four hits with his team, no walks, no runs, and nine strikeouts. I mean, just top to bottom, starting with Luis and then the bullpen, absolutely outstanding against a very good team.
Yeah, and I think we talked about this yesterday. I think the starting rotation is going to be they're underrated right now. Robbie Ray could
come
out.
Which is weird.
It is weird. But maybe, you know, look, we're local, and this is really – I could tell you who some of the best pitchers are around Major League Baseball, but I can't go through, you know, somebody else's
five.
Rotation. Yeah. So, but you know, we expect so much from Kirby. I mean, his location, that was ridiculous what he did as a rookie last year. The lack of walks. And then, you know, you got Logan Gilbert, who is, you know, still could be, maybe he's going to push Castillo and Robbie Ray a little bit, but we talked about this before about how you just sort of up the ante when you have a guy like Luis Castillo. And he's that much of, you know, he's the rock, you know, in the clubhouse. It makes everybody else sort of up their game as well. But, yeah, I mean, and then, you know, as far as, you know, like, Marco is the guy we don't even really talk about. We're too busy talking about Ray, Castillo, and then, you know, Kirby and Gilbert.
Yeah, it was such a welcome relief. And, you know, especially after that ball came back up the middle, I mean, that's frightening because that ball off the bat is coming at pitchers often well over 100 miles an hour. You got a split second to react, you know, and it hit him. It's hard to tell how much skin it actually caught versus his hair, whatever. It was, you know, that flash moment. You're like, oh, my goodness. Is he okay? What happened? And, you know, Cal said something along the lines like, he didn't go down. I knew he was okay or something like that. But here's he retires 12 in a row after that, and here's what that 12th batter sounded like.
Castillo winds and fires. Swing a fly ball, routinely hit out to center field. Julio waits for it. He makes the one-handed catch for out number three. Six scoreless innings complete on opening day from Luis Castillo. He's fanned six and retired 12 in a row.
12 in a row. And it just got me to thinking that, you know, you get him from game one this year. You got him August 3rd last year, well into the season. And he was crucial, and he was huge for the team. Remember, just comes out and just throws a gem against the Yankees in his debut for the Mariners. But now you get him from the beginning of the season. What kind of impact does that have? How much different is this rotation, is this team, having the luxury of having him from the very start?
Yeah, just got to stay healthy, and then, you know, maybe bring some of the younger guys along as well. Maybe that gives them a little bit more freedom to do that. But, yeah, I Castillo, he's got to be really happy. I mean, he's in Cincinnati where they don't really care about their baseball team, at least the owner doesn't seem to. And, you know, he's on a contender. The electric factory here that he's pitching in front of, I mean, it's, and if that becomes a thing, you know, you're going to be fired up when your turn comes around. These guys are going to be in. By the way, were you there for the Los Bomberos whole show? Was how cool was that when
it's amazing
they brought the relief pitchers?
They need to show it on TV. They need to highlight.
Yeah,
that needs
don't.
To be a highlight.
Yeah, because the first time I had not seen that. Remember, you guys, I think it was you and Mike were both talking about it, and I didn't know that you guys had talked about it. And I go, hey, did you guys know that you're on here? Yeah.
But that's never happened, which is weird.
But so. Then I came to a game, and I'm like, all of a sudden the lights go out, and I'm like, what the hell's going on here, man?
Power outage.
Yeah, it's really cool. So I just think there's as far as pitching goes, there's a lot of adrenaline to be had here in this ballpark.
Yeah, the crowd was into it. It's a great show. It's a lot like, you know, like we talked about it yesterday when some of the great closers have had their songs, and the second that song starts, yeah, the crowd goes nuts, whether it was Enter Sandman with Mariano or Trevor Hoffman with Hell's Bells or, you know, whatever. It's just, it's pretty cool to, you're conditioned to wait for it. When you hear it, you go nuts. It's exciting stuff. So, yeah, last night I was just thinking, man, you get him from game one this year. What does that look like for this team? And you're right, it's got to be a relief to, I don't know what kind of attachment he had to Cincinnati. I'm sure there's a fondness for the city and, you know, his time there, but to be in a situation where you made it to the playoffs last year, you're expected to do even better this year. You're in a great situation where a lot of, you know, national pundits, if you will, are praising this team and him and the rotation and what have you. And there's some more attention. I mean, I just don't think there's any expectation with the Reds, nor should there be. You know, the ownership seems to be a little funky. and you know, like I said yesterday, that story that came out that Ken Griffey Jr. has got the fourth highest payday on that payroll right now as a guy who's, you know, in his 50s and getting deferred money tells you how much they're spending on the product they're putting on the field.
You know, the other thing I think is kind of interesting and sort of fascinating is that you don't hear a lot from Luis Castillo because the language barrier and things. Yeah. But the fact that he's kind of a mystery, it makes it kind of cooler, right? Like, yeah. why is he called the Rock? And, you know, what is it about his demeanor that makes, you know, everybody, they kind of look up to him?
Yeah.
The other thing I really liked hearing is that that what you can expect from him in the off season is that he goes out on a boat and goes fishing, and that's
yeah.
it.
He just
that's all. And
disappears.
He didn't want to play in the WBC. You know, he didn't want to do that. And, yeah, it's kind of getting to know what this guy is all about. But I thought, you know, we hadn't sweeping the dial. I thought that was really cool that Ty France went over there and was kind of messing with him during his press conference. Obviously, everybody loves him. And, yeah.
It's funny to see him giggling up there.
Yeah.
Like when he understood, when he was able to hear what Ty said, it was being translated to him. And,
yeah,
and his response, he kept giggling through it. It was
right.
Just, there was a charm to it, you know, to see that response. So very cool is, Logan Gilbert walking over going, I've already talked to these guys, man. He's I don't think he's sick of us yet. Not yet.
Well, let's try to keep our streak alive.
Yeah. There he is. Pulling back up. Good to talk to this guy again, man. It was we've been raving all week about our time in spring training and that we were out there late every day. The team would be gone. And this guy in Ichiro would be out there for hours after everybody else was gone working, talking about the one, the only Logan Gilbert here with us. How are you, man?
Good. Good to see you guys again. Yeah.
That was
out in Seattle.
Are you sure about that?
It feels like I just saw you.
Okay.
did you walk up and go, oh, these two?
Yeah.
I just talked to them. What are we going to talk about?
Yeah, more questions for me?
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, I honestly all week was praising you just because I was like, you know what? I know people give you a hard time about the gadgets and all that stuff, but anybody who's working that hard to get better, even if you're like, oh, this will help me, all right, I'll try it. I love that's the teammate I want. I want that guy, and I know it's fun to pick on you for your teammates, but
yeah.
That is cool. Where did that come from? That's something we talked about. Was there somebody who kind of turns you on to just, hey, man, always look for something that's going to give you an edge? Or
yeah.
Where'd that come from?
For sure. Well, I mean, that means a lot, first of all, just because you see that and see that side of it where I'm trying to get better and trying to help myself out, help the team out. And, you know, we're playing at such a high level. If there's any edge out there to get, I got to try to go out and get it. And it's been something I've done since high school. There's a place called Florida Baseball Armory that I still train at back home. And a bunch of that weird, the gadgets and all that, that's where it comes from, and that's how I train in the off season and bring it back here with me.
Yeah, how about, you know, some of the stuff that you get from the outside, from like Driveline, or you mentioned the academy that you went to, and how does that work in with your pitching coach here? You know, does everybody just kind of collaborate on all of that stuff?
Yeah, it's been great, and they're open-minded here and work with me, and I really couldn't be more fortunate. I'm not just saying that because you hear kind of horror stories of one size fits all and coaches kind of like an ego thing. They want to do it their way, but ever since I came here, it's been a perfect fit. They mesh with the stuff that I do, and they're willing to explore and kind of talk with me through it. Like, hey, what's the reasoning behind this? Just making sure everything makes sense. But they're on board, and it seems to help me out so far.
You know, the hardest part about what you were doing last week was trying to describe it to our listeners. And I'm like, well, right now he's on the mound. He's got what looks like a really long oven mitt on with a ball
That's
tucked under his arm.
That's the same thing I say because I have trouble with it too. So
what is it? Is it weighted or
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, so I throw there's a 7-ounce ball in there. It's just like a baseball, little overload. It's in a sock, so I release it, but it doesn't go anywhere because it's attached to my arm. So even now, it's hard to explain, but the oven mitt's probably the best bet.
Didn't you have a ball under your arm too?
Yeah, that's like inflatable, almost like a kickball size, just filled with air. And it's just for arm action and making sure I'm naturally pretty long, which I wouldn't say is a terrible thing, but just making sure I'm efficient with my arm motion.
Who gives you the hardest time about it on the team?
Robbie likes to kind of make fun of me. He has a good time with it. Paul, Ty gives me a hard time about just about anything. So if I give him ammo, he's gonna use it on me.
He's kind of sneaky, Ty is, because when we talk to him, he's pretty quiet.
Yeah.
But like yesterday in the press conference, he snuck in with Luis Castillo.
I saw that.
Did you see
that's
that?
That's hilarious. Yeah.
So yeah, he's kind of the sneaky guy.
He is. He's funny. He's got a little edge to him. He's a good guy.
He was the one that, remember, he said when Logan, after your rookie year, he said that you were getting froggy.
Yeah.
Is that what he said?
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
I heard about that one. Yeah.
Yeah, one of the things we talked about today with Luis last night is, A, all we ever heard is, yeah, he's a slow starter. Like, that was the reputation. He starts the year slow, and he finds it. He was beyond outstanding last night. But I was asking the question, if you're behind him, is there a competitive juice that gets fired? When you see that, you're going, okay, I want to match that. I don't want to be the guy that throws a dud out here. I want to match what he does. Does it kind of pick up a
for
little
sure.
intensity?
Yeah, you feel like he set the tone, and that's what we saw last night, and you can't ask for anything more. But I mean, he's your prototypical opening day starter. That's what you get and then what you expect out of a guy like that, and he's just fun to follow. He's a leader on the staff already, only been here, you know, half the year last year, but somebody we look up to and follow.
Is he somebody that speaks better English than he lets on?
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he can joke around, he can give it to you a little bit.
Okay.
He's a good guy. He fits in perfectly, and we've got along real well.
Because he was in that Thai exchange, the interpreter was telling what Thai said,
oh,
and he was communicating back in Spanish.
Yeah.
But it was.
I think he usually knows. He does a pretty good job with it.
We heard that about Diego Castillo, that he knew a lot more English than he let on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I only talk to him in English, so I think they know what I'm saying most of the time. So
apparently.
I don't know.
They're just nodding.
Probably the more serious question in the interviews, probably use the translator, but for the most part, we're just all talking English.
Hey, so the crowd really fired up last night, particularly, and obviously in the playoff games. But for you, I mean, how different is that going to be? I mean, if you get it consistently, you guys are playing really well. I mean, are you going to have to kind of control your emotions a little bit, or how much does that affect your pitching?
Yeah, definitely. It plays into it, and I'm kind of at different points throughout the year. I've just tried to be natural and just play with it. Use it if you want to, all that kind of stuff. And I love the way the fans get after it, especially here. It's probably one of the loudest places I've heard, and they care so much and support us so much. So when they get fired up, it's kind of hard not to when I'm out there too. So we kind of feed off each other.
So have you thought about what it may be like for you on the road? Because I think we saw a guy get Karinchak get a little rattled last night. All of a sudden, you can't hear pitch calm. You've got the digital deadline up there, is right. what I'm calling it. And you're trying to communicate with the catcher. Do you have kind of a backup plan? All right, let's go to the old school signs, or how do you handle that?
Yeah, it'll be a little bit of a learning curve here just because it's quieter in spring training. And if something happened, we kind of like figured out a way through it, and you can hear the pitch calm easily. But last night, like, you heard it right away when the fans got after it. Yeah, like, he's holding his glove up to his ear and trying to find a way to hear him. So we can go back to signs and have a backup sign system in place.
You're talking about your workouts and how, you know, sort of religious you are about it. When you can't work out, does that kind of drive you crazy a little bit? Like, you had to take some time off on your honeymoon, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But do you kind of have to – that's got to be difficult because you get really used to it.
It is tough. I love it, and I'm just so used to it. And I think I've gotten better at it recently. But in the past, yeah, it's, like, driven me crazy, and I just have to be doing something. But I think as silly as it sounds, like, that's a place that I had to grow in my training and in my career and know what I need and what I don't need. And I think it's healthy for me sometimes to take a step back.
So you have to kind of convince yourself to dial it back.
Yeah, that's something the last couple of years we've had conversations, and even the older guys, the way they do things, and trying to follow them, where growing up it's always been you have to be the hardest worker, which is true. But I think at this level it's also trying to be the smartest worker, and that's something that I've had to get used to.
How interesting is it that every night we were out there, it was you and it was Ichiro, who's almost 50 years old, and he's jogging around the backfield. He's in the corner, right field, stretching. I'm like, looking, we're going, is that Ichiro still?
Still going.
It's amazing.
And I'm not going to outwork him. I can't even try. He's always out there. If I'm out there, he's already been out there, and he'll stay later than me. So it's fun to watch him.
Hey, we see you out there slinging the rock, throwing the football around a little bit.
I was telling him, nice spiral you had going in spring training. He was like, we'll see.
I fancy myself a quarterback.
Okay. You got to teach me a thing or two.
Probably not. I probably couldn't teach you anything. I was watching you guys throw it. Looks like you got a good tight spiral going.
It's getting there. A couple years ago, it was embarrassing.
Was it?
Just trying to hold my own. Yeah.
But I mean, it's become kind of a ritual because I mean, we've been doing this show out here for at least 10 years, I think, and it seems like there's always guys playing catch with football.
Yeah, right? Just flying around. Somebody asked me today, Champ, the bullpen catcher, was like, hey, you got a football on you? So somebody's always doing it. I actually think it's good for your arm, whether it is or not, I don't know. But Nolan Ryan used to throw football, so must be doing something right.
Yeah, exactly.
So is that another part of the training, or is it just you have fun with it? Or do you think, hey, there's a benefit to me doing this?
I think there is a benefit, but for the most part, I just try to let my guard down and just have fun once in a while I can, yeah.
Yeah. What about on the – oh, by the way, I was going to ask about Luis Castillo, that comebacker looked like it hit him right in the hair.
Yeah. Like that kind of – that's what I thought too, yeah.
But we don't think about that for you guys, especially you, because you come so far down the mound. I mean, are you always thinking, be ready for that? I mean, it doesn't happen that often.
Yeah. It's, I'll be honest, it's kind of scary when you see stuff like that, and thankfully he's okay, but it's in the back of your mind now and then. I even see replays of me where, like, I'll throw the pitch and my glove just, like, fires back up anticipating them to swing or hit the ball or something like that. So I think I wouldn't say I land in a great fielding position, but I usually keep my glove up to try to protect myself.
You ever gotten drilled at any level, minors or anything?
Yeah, it happened. We were talking about that today, actually, because of Luis. But last year I got hit in the butt, actually, by the same guy that, like, a month earlier hit a liner at my face that I caught. So he was, like, just drilling them back at me.
You were the target.
Yeah. You go up to him and say, is there something personal?
I know. I'm like, what did I do?
Yeah.
Why do you hate me, man?
Yeah. Hey, as far as, like, guys that you face, is there anybody that really stands out to you, or do you just try to – I know in football a lot of guys will just say, well, my opponent, that's number 73, and that's it. I don't want to put a face or a name or anything. When you – you know, obviously everybody's different, but is there anybody that stands out to you like, God, that guy's tough to get?
Yeah, you definitely run into them. I'm all for just giving respect, and there's a ton of great players around the league, so – you know, Altuve's been tough in the past. Trout, obviously. Shohei's a fun at bat. So basically all the guys you hear about, they are, you know, good, like people say. But I think that's the fun part about it. Like, they challenge me, I challenge them, and it brings out the best.
You know, we're talking about Ty and how mellow he is. You're kind of that laid back, just whatever, dude. What do you think of the attention? Just people always looking at you? I assume when you walk down the street, people are starting to recognize you in restaurants.
Yeah, yeah.
But is that something you dreamt of, or are you like, I'd rather
It's
not.
Fun. I'm naturally more on the side of, like, laid back and just mind my own business. Not that I need to be in the spotlight or anything, but especially around here, it's so fun. People care so much about the team and the city and all that stuff. So I feel the pride, and especially I went downtown today, like, by the market and just saw – Mariners hats everywhere. Like, everybody's wearing their gear and stuff like that. So it makes you feel good and makes you care about the city and the team.
Were they surrounding you?
I took a couple pictures here and there. It wasn't too bad. It wasn't bad.
You know, I've heard from guys that, athletes that, I think it was Gronkowski. Somehow I know somebody that knew Gronk, and he loved the mask thing. When that was going on, the mandate, because then nobody can see your face.
Yeah, true.
Be a little more anonymous.
He's huge. I feel like he would still stick out, so I don't know.
You're kind of a big dude,
too. The height and the hair kind of gives it away.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm not Julio, so I feel like even in spring training, I would joke around that I would follow him out of the games, and he would sign everything, and I would just,
beeline.
Be able to sneak right behind him.
Right behind him, yeah.
Well, man, last night was such a great start, and obviously we know you're excited about the season. Obviously, everybody else is. Can't wait to see you out there, man. Always fun to talk to you.
Appreciate it. Yeah, for sure. Good talking to you guys.
Thanks so much. There you go. Logan Gilbert, everybody, of your Seattle Mariners. Great to talk to him, and can't wait to see him out there on the hill. He does have a nice spiral, Dave. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I'll bet he does.
I'm telling you. I was watching him. I was keeping an eye on him out there.
He's probably better than me. He throws things for a living. I really don't do that. I throw snowballs.
You throw them for fun. You throw them for your own glory.
Yeah.
Showing off your snowball prowess.
I think he's listed at 6'6". I think it's more than that.
You think he's taller?
I mean, and he's down. And he was
he's on the
downhill.
Slope. Yeah. Yeah, he's a tall drink of water, Dave. What a good dude, and I can't emphasize enough how hard that guy works, and we saw it firsthand in a way that I'd heard about it. I'd heard, you know, people have written about his, you know, everything that he does, but watching it firsthand and just watching how long he was out there when everybody else was gone except for Ichiro, it's amazing.
It's so admirable. I mean, and look, you can never fault a guy like that if he has a bad outing or anything like that. I mean, you know, if he fails, it's not going to be because lack of effort or anything like that. That just, because, I mean, that's all the above and beyond stuff. You know, we talk about, like, you know, when I was playing, it's kind of a, you know, during the regular week, it's kind of like a, I don't know, 7 to 6 p.m. type of job. You get Tuesday off. You get half a day on Friday pretty much in the NFL. But if you're not working during those days, then you're doing something wrong. And that's not only is he working during those days, he's working like he's putting in overtime.
Right? Yeah, yeah, love it. There you go. If you missed any of that conversation with Logan Gilbert, it will be available on the podcast page at seattlesports.com after the show. Coming up, the Mariners have one superstar, but what would having two superstars mean for this team? We'll get into that next as we continue live from Edgar's Cantina. It's Wyman and Bob right here, Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
We've got some mean texts rolling in. We'll unveil your anger, your venom directed at us. Coming up in the next segment, 5:45 here with Wyman and Bob, live from Edgar's Cantina. Place is packing out right now. Stadium starting to fill up. Game two of the four-game series with the Cleveland Guardians. So hopefully we're talking about a sweep, Dave, by the time we're back on Monday. Let's talk about that.
That would be fantastic. Like you said, man, Cleveland, really good team.
Very good team.
Yeah, you look at some of their best players, pretty amazing. I love watching Kwan. He is such a good athlete.
He's a pesky guy. He's fast. He's
You say that because he's a smaller guy.
Well, yeah, he's not a big power guy. He's a leadoff guy who's got speed.
Pesky.
Pesky.
Yeah, it's like the lefties are always crafty.
Crafty left. That's right. Yeah. That's right. If you're small, you're pesky. Yeah. Yeah, it is a very good team. We'll see how it goes the final three games of this series. But last night was such a fun start to it, and we hopefully will be watching some of that coming up tonight. Meanwhile, the Mariners, again, taking on the Guardians. And the T-Mobile Park roof will be, I'm going to say, closed, Dave. It's currently closed, and I frankly can't see a reason for opening it. I don't care if it's raining or not. It's freezing out here, and I don't know how much warmer it makes it with it open or closed because it's open air. But
yeah, I mean, the wind still comes through. You know, I was thinking when I was I was thinking about the roof report by Acton's Roofing.
Covered by Acton's Quality Roofing.
Yeah, you know what I was thinking is that, like throwing out a first pitch, all that, people would probably be going, who's that guy? But, you know, the one thing I would like to do is ride the roof when they close it. Be up there just, like, on the edge. Like,
be a very slow ride.
Just think if you were, like, you know, laying on your stomach looking down and just slowly going. That would be awesome.
You fell asleep watching a baseball game with 45 seconds of silence. You'd be dead asleep by the time this thing opened all the way. They'd have to wake you up. Sir, the ride's over. Time to get down now.
That, you know, to JP's point about, and if you didn't hear it earlier, I, you know, told the story that, and I went back and counted. It was 45 seconds where the announcers didn't say anything.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing that you're not, you're getting rid of all that. That's the waiting part that JP Morosi was talking about. And I'm just more and more getting sold on, you know, the quicker pace and everything. And really, it's not that quick. It's going back to, really, you're going back in time. Like 1984, I had the stat earlier there. I think the average game was like 2 hours and 19 minutes, 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's become, to me, it's selfish behavior by the players that they are, you know, stepping out, and the gamesmanship you talked about, and, you know, tightening their gloves. Nobody needs to see that.
Now, let me ask you this. Now that they're speeding the game up with a pitch clock and the games are going to be shorter, as we've seen during spring and last night, would you want to go back to, in extra innings, no runner on second to start? Go back to traditional baseball?
Yes.
Because that was meant to speed things up.
Exactly.
That's exactly why they put that out there. We can't be out here for 17 innings and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. That's a great point. I hadn't really thought of that. But, yeah, that was there only for that, right?
Yeah, because they were worried about games going, you know,
which I
forever.
I thought that was ridiculous because, you know, you kill for an extra inning game. That means it's good.
Yeah.
Right? Unless it's, you know.
0-0
or 1-1 maybe.
0-0, 1-1. At least you're getting stellar pitching, you would assume, in that scenario. If it's 9-9, all right, this is a...
Yeah. I've come to appreciate pitching, by the way. That used to be my biggest nightmare, is watching a game that's 1-0.
See, that flies in the face of what you like in football.
I know.
You like a nice defensive battle. You like a good...
Yeah.
You like it if a game ended 7-3.
6-3. Remember the Cleveland Brown Seahawk game a few years ago?
Pig of a game.
It was awesome.
It was a disaster.
Thing of beauty, Bob.
Was Charlie Whitehurst not the quarterback in that game? And it was just
that part
atrocious.
Was ugly. That part was ugly.
That wasn't great defense. That was just bad football, Dave.
Can I just tell one story from that? Red Bryant, I remember, came on air with us, and he got a penalty because somebody called him something, and we go, well, what did he call you? And he told us on the air.
Unedited.
Yes.
Yeah.
And because very innocently, he told us exactly what was said, and it was a problem.
You said, I understand why you got the penalty.
We heard from the FCC.
Really?
That week, I
Uh-oh.
Believe. Yeah. So,
oh, boy.
Yeah, but... Yeah, I've come to appreciate that, and it's a good question, though, about the whole, not great, but good question, about, you know, the whole removing the guy from second base.
I think we've gotten used to it now, but I'm just wondering if that was ever a consideration. Like, okay, we're seeing these games sped up 1-9, extra innings, do we now go back to traditional base? We still have the pitch clock, it'll still be with that pace, but we're not going to start with a runner on second.
We should ask Stanton that, because, you know, he was part of a committee.
Yeah,
he's
the chair of the committee.
Yeah, so I mean, he knew all that stuff. So we'll have to get that from him next time, because I guarantee you, the next time we're out here at Edgar's, he's going to come by.
All right, coming up, Mean Text. You still have a few minutes to get him in. 866-979-3776. Powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. So as Dave said, if you're not too high and you can send him in, that'd be great. he seems to think nobody's capable. They're all compromised right now. They can't get it done. We'll see what comes up with Mean Text. Coming up next with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
It's what we do to end the week every single week here with Wyman and Bob, live from Edgar's Cantina, Seattle Sports on 710. We'll get to the mean things you guys have said over the text. 866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. But before we get to the mean text, we're going to enlist the voices of everybody here.
Oh, no. Uh-oh.
Oh, no. How embarrassing.
Nice job.
Just for being born.
I'm not sure what name they were saying there. Happy birthday. That guy over there. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much. Yes, very
the guy that's in the way. I just want to stand there.
Yeah, the guy that needs
Jen,
to move.
Of course. She's the one who started this whole thing.
But look at that.
A lot of people on the text are convinced that I'm only 49 years old.
They really bought that,
that's
huh?
That's great.
Yeah, he's only 39. I was just kidding. He's only 39. I dated him by 10. Good stuff from everybody here. We appreciate that. We'll go through some of the we made you feel good. Now we're going to just make you feel bad with some of the mean things.
Great.
Should we start with our buddy Adam, who sent in some love from
bring in the professional.
He just landed in Dallas. Let's see here. Dave is the radio version of a Happy Meal with no toy inside. That's a disappointment.
Yeah, I like that.
Let's see. Dave has the face of a guy who sells homemade fireworks on the side of the freeway.
What is that? What kind of face is that?
I picture you in some sort of RV or a van, a windowless van,
right,
with a hand painted sign.
Now you're getting creepy.
Yeah, that's what it seems like.
Jeff in San Diego says, "If only we could apply a pitch clock to your show, cut it to 2.5 hours, then we'd be good."
You know what? I think it was Jen from Beaverton that said something about a pitch clock on Wyman's stories.
That was good.
That was damn good.
That was solid work. Yeah,
you got to give some credit there.
720 gets a shot at all of us here. Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Thumb are the sports radio equivalent to the Trinity of piss poor umpires: Angel Hernandez, Joe West, and CB Buckner.
That's
harsh. Very hurtful.
Too much.
That's just flat out mean.
Too
right there.
Much,
man. So no one has brought a crossbody bag to you. I'm a little disappointed.
Oh yeah,
I kind of wanted Dave to wear a crossbody bag for his birthday, but
that's not happening.
I don't see anybody with them.
Where are the crossbody bags?
I like that the Mariners even kind of made fun.
Oh, there's one. We got one guy wearing one. There we go.
Someone's a couple there.
Right. 425 says a crossbody bag. You could even fit Bob's tiny head on there.
I think it fit around
a lot of them.
Yeah. Even the Mariners kind of made fun of that. Yeah. You know, they
put it on Divish.
Remember they put
Divish
on there.
Yeah. So. And it looked just as natural on him as anybody else, right?
Okay. Somebody offering me. he's like
he really wants to part with
now.
It.
Yeah. You know, Dave will take one home for a birthday present here.
He really wants you to have it, Dave.
No, that's okay.
It's a birthday gift.
This one, I don't know if I should read this. This is very mean. 253, you're not going to like this one, Dave. 253 says, "I think Lefko can throw a better pass than Wyman at this point."
Uh-oh.
I don't know about that, man.
Yeah, we should get a little throwing
contest. I don't know why
there.
It is. I used to, you know, we used to play like flag football on our front lawn when I was in college. And so I would always be the quarterback.
Yeah.
I just felt in the flow, Bob. I was slinging it, man.
Yeah.
I was twitching.
You got a nice tight spiral.
Yeah.
You have arm talent.
I did. I had arm talent.
Exactly. Can you spin it?
Spin it, all that.
Should we finish with the best one? We did it yesterday. Josh Campa on Twitter, who we were talking about the shirtless guy. He was the story of opening day. You know, the Mariners had a game, but the shirtless guy took it over. And he said, "Wyman looks like he's in midseason form."
That was a good one, man. That was on Twitter, right?
Yeah.
They need to look at that picture. That's quite a picture. All right. Good stuff by you guys. That does it for us. I want to thank our guest today, John Stanton, who rolled by unprompted, by the way, Ryan Roland Smith, and Logan Gilbert. If you missed any of it, it'll be at seattlesports.com. Click the podcast tab. It'll be right there. Have a great weekend, everybody. We're back on Monday with Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710.